Okay. Very good. Tonight's shiur is on the topic of CPAP machines on Shabbos. I've just asked Shiloh is about this over the years from several people here, as well as my previous position. I see we have an example of a souped up CPAP machine on the page on the table. What it is people that have sleep apnea, which means that they have.
That's the one that I have.
It means you too.
What did it say?
We have a minion of CPAP machines in the shul.
I'm getting one.
The acronym CPAP.
So continuous positive air pressure. Thank you. I was hoping somebody would know what it stood for here. So we have the sleep apnea, which means that trachea will close up a little bit. So this way it blows air through, making sure that the windpipe stays open, making sure that one gets a wholesome rest, making sure that somebody doesn't suffocate while they are sleeping. The word answer, which we'll get to a little bit later. About what the long-term health benefits or lack thereof are. We'll save that for a little bit. Let's just introduce some of the halachos, those people that learned with us on Shavuos night. So some of this will be familiar. But it's anyways very important to do chazar. A story that was Rabbi Yaakov Neuberger, who is Rabbi Cohn, who was here last Shabbos, so he works, the rabbi of B'nai Abraham, is Rabbi Yaakov Neuberger, who's also Rosh Hashiva at Yeshiva University. So he tells the story. What? And Rabbi Charlap's son-in-law, yes. For the older generations, he's Rabbi Charlap's son-in-law.
My son's brother-in-law.
Right. So... So he tells the story that when he was the Rav of a town, of this shul, and somebody came to him to ask him the following shaila, right? He said he had had a child a week earlier, and he drove to the hospital on Shabbos, and then he drove to the hospital on Shabbos, and then he turned the car off. And he realized that it probably wasn't necessary for him to do, because he really could have ordered a cab, and he really could have figured out another way to get to the hospital. So that he would have had to avoid the problem of Chilul Shabbos. So what was his shaila to Roy Neuberger? As a rabbi, you either love getting these shailas, or you are driving crazy by these questions. Well, what do I do to do tshuva for this grave thing that I did? So Neuberger says, that's not his area of expertise, so he went to ask Rav Schachter. So he asked Rav Schachter, he said, Rav Schachter, this is the story, what should this person do as tshuva? So Rav Schachter said to him, what do you mean what should he do as tshuva? You're the one that should be doing tshuva. You're the rabbi of the shul, and it's your responsibility to make sure that everybody knows what to do when disaster strikes on Shabbos and how to deal with the various illnesses on Shabbos. So we have a couple of, the more shirim on this, the more important, hopefully the more the knowledge of these halachos will spread. So when we have a problem on Shabbos, this is the regular sakanas nefashos, right? Something happens on Shabbos, the case of the Gemara here is, a woman that's giving birth to a baby. So if they tanale miyaldin es ha'isha v'korin l'chachma makam l'makam, so you could call people... Chachama mimakom lemakom, so nurses could come. Umachal alas haShabbos leisui ma'in. You can machal the Shabbos for us. So what does that include? Leisui ha includes this. The Tan Rabban Yehi said tzvichel aner chavertem adlekas lo asan ner. That if she needs a fire, you could light a fire for her. Yehi said tzvichel aShemen chavertem yivil aShemen biyad. If she needs oil, some kind of birthing oil, so you bring her the oil by hand. If you don't have enough, if you can't carry it in your hands, right? No suffik biyad. Mivia besara, you bring it in her hair, and then you squeeze it out when you get there. Vimeina suffik besara mivia. And if you can't bring enough in the hair, so via Lubbock Kli. So then you bring it into the Kli. So despite all of these sociological intricacies, one would see in this Gemara, the Gemara concludes by saying, the bottom line that we have here, the Kama de Efshar Lishinui Mashinu. As much as a person could possibly do a Shinui, they should do so. They should do a Shinui. A Shinui we're going to get to a little bit later. But the more a person could be Mishane, what they're doing, that's what they should do. They should try to be mishan as much as possible. They should change what they're doing as much as possible, because one only violates a malach on Shabbos if they do it in the original pristine state. And if one is mishan, if one changes what they're doing, they don't do it in the normal fashion, so at least for now, that is, one does not violate the malach d'oraisa. So you're knocked down to a malach d'rabban. And then rather than violate malach d'oraisa, they should always try to only violate a malach d'rabban.
What's the rationale for a shibli?
Malachas Machshavas, presumably. It's not Malachas Machshavas.
How you do the malachas.
Right.
It's not a malacha, it's not shavas if you do the shivas, because that's not the normal way of doing the malacha.
Correct.
So why would it be with a shiva in the Rabbanon?
Yes, yeah, so for now we're going to say, it's a problem of the Rabbanon. So says the Ramban. So Ramban mentions the Ramban in Torah Sa'adam. Torah Sa'adam is a sefer that the Ramban wrote, mostly covering Hilchos Avelos, but also covered Hilchos Refuah. The Ramban was a doctor, and Sakanas on Shabbos is mentioned there. So that's the sefer Torah Sa'adam. So in the sefer Torah Sa'adam, he quotes this Gemara, and he writes, "Mevi'ala b'chli derech sara kamad efshel shnei mashniyinun v'shaminun mina." On the second line, the chol tzarchi chola afal pi sheyesh po sakana, that whatever is needed for a chola, even if there's a sakana, even if a person is in danger, hechad efshel amaved lo lemalacha b'shinoi. As long as you can do the malacha b'shinoi in a different fashion, shlo yischal b'shabbes mishanin ve'in mechalin. So then you should be mishanin and you should be mechala, right? You should change it and not be mechala shabbes deoraisa. Who shlo yisacher tzarchel shel chola b'shinoi zeklal. Putting the caveat, as long as you don't delay the care, right? If the care is going to be delayed, if the care is going to be sacrificed, right? So then you don't go with the shino, you violate the oraisa. But the Ramban is clearly saying here is that yes, it's true that that one violates Shabbos in order to save the life of a person if a person is in danger. But rather than being what we call hutra, that everything is free, Shabbos doesn't exist anymore, and you can do whatever you want, right? It's dechuya, or you try to limit the violations to as little as possible. And that's based on this Gemara, right? Just as the woman who was giving birth, we try to bring the oil via a shinoi, right? Via the hair, right? If not, so then we'll bring it regularly. So too by all. So kind of the same thing. Now the Rambam doesn't quote the halachas this way. The Rambam.
How
is the oil going to get out of
it? You lay your hair on it and let it drip off.
Right. I don't remember. I think that is an issue there, but I think it's not derech. I don't remember how that worked out. So the Rambam.
What?
It was in the Gemara. The Chazak of Etav, this is myself, feel the Timmy Yeshita Beser, Mevi'ala Bechli Derech Sara, right? Bring in the Kli Derech, and even if there would be a problem of Shita Beser, so then you bring in the Kli Derech Sara, you bring it in your hair. Okay, so that's how the Gemara resolves that problem. So the Rambam doesn't quote it this way. The Rambam seems to just be saying that if Chol Sheish Bo Sakana, Osin Lo Kol Tzarcha B'Shabbos, you do whatever you can, Al Pi Rofei Uman Shalos Avakum, you get the best doctor you can, Safik Shu Tzarcha L'Chal Olav Es HaShabbos Safik, if you Safik, whether you do or whether you don't, you do, and you do whatever you need to do. And the Rambam also includes all the other things in Halacha Beis, Madlikin Lo Asanir, Mechamin Lefan of Asanir, V'Shochtin Lo V'Ofen V'Vashin Mechamin Lo, you do all of these things, and nowhere does he mention anything about a shinui? He doesn't mention anything about a shinui, he doesn't mention anything about a guy, he doesn't mention anything about anybody. He just says, you do it. Right? The only place where the Rambam mentions it is 10 halachos later. In 10 halachos later, he talks specifically about a yoledes, he talks specifically about a woman that's giving birth, and that's where he invokes, if you look at the end of halacha yad aleph, of chol she'efshel l'shanos mishan v'shas haba. Right? Whatever is possible to do a shinui, you should do a shinui on. Right? So the Rambam seems to say in a regular case of sakana, so then it's hutra, right? Whatever goes, he doesn't make any mention of a shino, he doesn't make anything about an akma, doesn't make any mention of a shnayim sha'asu, or any of these other types of ways of knocking the deraisa down to a rabbanon. He only mentions it legabi with regards to the issue of a yoledes, the issue of a woman giving birth. So why does he make that distinction? So the Magid Mishnah explains.
Is it clear that it's a distinction and he's not saying it for everything?
The Magid Mishnah thinks it's clear. The Magid Mishnah explains it.
But usually, he normally would say b'chol
I don't know. I mean, he gets to later. The Magid Mishnah interprets it this way. The Mechaber interprets it this way. If you want to fight in the Rambam,
no,
we can. I don't know. I don't know if anybody takes that stance. But regardless, that stance is certainly picked up on by the other. Rishonim, Achronim, etc. That's the Shitas HaRambam. So the Magid Mishnah explains that when there's a suffix, when there is a sakana, if a person's having a heart attack, if a person's really having a sakana, so then everything goes away. That taka is hutra. However, the Magid Mishnah says, what's a yoledes? A yoledes, a woman is giving birth. Is that really a sakana? So yes, it's a sakana. She should be doing it in a hospital, and she should be taking care of it. However, the Rambam writes, the Magid Mishnah says, Mifnei shecha'av ha-yoledes v'chavela heim kedavar tavai love, ein achas me'elef misa. That It's considered something that's teva. It's considered something that's normal. Meaning one can distinguish between a woman that's giving birth versus other types of medical emergencies. Such that when a woman is giving birth, it's not necessarily a rut. Some people, maybe it is. But all three of my children have been born someplace having to do with Shabbos, right? And it's okay, we'll get there. You know, we'll get there with plenty of time. It's not necessarily an emergency like the other things are emergencies. So that's the distinction the Rambam makes. Right? By regular emergencies, yes, it's hutra. The Gemara, when the Gemara talks about try to be as dechuya as possible, try to do mishanez, try to change things as much as possible, that's dafka by yoledes. Well, so yoledes doesn't quite reach the level of a chola sheyesh bo sakana, of a chola that is in danger of becoming ill. So how do we paskin in this halacha? So the Rambam writes, the Shulchan Aruch writes, some may recall this, if they don't recall this from Shavuos, they might recall this from the Shabbos Shuva Drasha, as it says, Keshemachal in Shabbos al chola sheyesh bo sakana, for it's being machal Shabbos for a chola sheyesh bo sakana, mishtadlin shelo lasos aidei eina Yehudi, v'ketanim v'nashim, el aidei Yisraelim gedolim, uv'nei das. Right? You shouldn't do it, you shouldn't leave it to the non-Jews and the children and the women to do. Rather, the Yisraelim Gedolim Uvenei Das, the knowledgeable Yisraelim. Right? I don't know if Dr. Weiss and I have ever concluded our dispute about what exactly he means, but certainly he means that that you don't have to really worry about trying to knock down what your knock down what the level of malacha would be. So the Ramah comes along and he quotes the Ramban. If you don't have to be docha Shabbos, you're not going to be delayed by doing by a shinoi. You should do it by a shinoi. And if you could do it by a non-Jew without any type of delay, you should do it by a non-Jew without any type of delay. However, you have to be careful. You have to be higher than non-Jew. Is a non-Jew going to be a little bit lazy or whatever? But assuming you can ascertain that you're going to get the same level of care from a non-Jew or by doing it by way of a shinoi, so one is obligated to do that. And the Ramban is saying it by all cholas, by all dangers, by everything. So that's understood to be machlokas Rambam and Ramban, followed to be a machlokas Shulchan Aruch and Ramah. Sobolovsky likes telling the story. Whenever he explains these shirim, he likes telling the story that one time a person came to his house and his wife was in labor, and he said, okay, what should I do? And he said, well, you should have come to me like a couple weeks ago to figure out what you should do, but anyways, you should go pick up the phone b'derech shinoi. You should knock it off with your elbow. But then Rasulullah said, wait a second, no, you don't have to do that because you're a Sfardi. Oh, so you're a Sfardi, you can hold like the Machaber, and the Machaber says, you don't have to, everything's hutra, you don't have to worry about the Chuya. But then he said, no, wait a second, no, even though you're a Sfardi, this is the one case, right, that even the Rambam says, that's the case in the Gemara, where the Gemara says you have to have a shinoi. So while they're discussing this back and forth, the woman's water broke, and he just said, okay, just pick up the phone and call a guy. That's the story like before. Okay, so
so
Amir L'Akum is the Dindurabana. No, this is the real din of Amir L'Akum.
Yeah. Saying Amir L'Akum is preferable to Shinui.
Mm-hmm.
It's the most preferable way.
Right. And perhaps it's by far the most preferable way, as hopefully we'll have time to see later. Okay. So
this is Rabbanan. This isn't Rabbanan.
Oh, so maybe, but there might be different levels of Durabana. That's a question later on.
Would Chris tolerate different levels? Yes.
Well, it's Durabana. We'll see. Okay, we'll see. So, so with that in mind, so whenever we're talking about these kinds of things, whatever level of danger, we're not specifically talking about the apnea or the CPAP, etc. yet. But we will. But just that's the introduction to Hilchos Shabbos. One more ha'ara I just want to make on that is that the Nishmas of Ram here. So he quotes from Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach as well as others that although the Machaber and Ramah seem to be pretty far apart, Rav Shlomo Zalman claimed that they weren't as far apart as they seem. Because when the Machaber says that you can be Mechalel whatever you want, you know, that Shabbos is Hutra, Rav Shlomo Zalman claimed that's only Legabe things that are directly having to do with the Chola of the person. Meaning, stitches. or putting on a cast. It was something that is specifically having to do with the person themselves. However, anything having to do with side things, like does the person need more light? Does the person need more? Does it need to be cooler? Does the person need the TV to be on? Whatever, all those other things that are kind of ancillary to the cheftza of the chola themselves, right? So that says Rosh Shlomo Zalman, even the Mechaber would agree would be dechuya, not hutra. Right, that even that would be that which should be done by way of shinui, and that should be all of those ancillary things. One should try to get a non-Jew to do, etc. It's only the dispute between the Mechaberim was only about things having to do with the chola him or her.
But in any case, it falls down to the level of the machala of the individual, right? Whether it's a woman giving birth or somebody is really sick, giving birth being more natural, somebody who is really in a case of a CPAP. You could easily tell the person, you know, don't go to sleep. You avoid the
problem. Hold on a second. You're not a CPAP user, are you?
Well, that you can say. After the
what about the story about the vlog when he was an infant and he was sick and they brought the doctor and the doctor said,
right.
So Rav Moshe, his son was... So Rav Chaim said, "You're not Mavet," and he himself went and turned back.
Right. So he was holding like the Shita Sarambam. He was holding like the Shita Sarambam, and not like this distinction of Rishon Zalman. Okay.
The Rav Simcha Zelig, the Dayan.
Yes.
When I heard the story originally, it was Rav Chaim himself who put on the line.
Yes, that's
how Rivkov tells it.
Who?
Rothkopf in his book
sounds like right. I think he's quoting from Nefesh HaRav also, so yeah, take a look there. But yeah.
No, Nefesh HaRav says the Pope of Zalat, the
Dayan. Oh.
No, Rothkopf says that he did himself.
He did it himself.
All right, Tzarchian. This is a suffix Shefshur Levarer, okay? We'll check it out. Okay, so just when it comes to electricity, it's actually Levar in terms of the, you know, the scholarship on it. So we can do that later. So the Rambam writes.
To touch on point interruption, here we're dealing with Rabban Sakana.
No, I mean I don't know. It depends who you ask around the table.
No, because the Rambam we'll get there. On suffix Sakana the Balamo, then on the suffix Sakana you Machal Shabbos.
Okay, it's either a suffix sheishbo sakana or a suffix sheinbo sakana. I'm not sure it's a suffix sakana. We'll get to this specifically shortly. So the Rambam writes. So what's the status of electricity itself? So in terms of figuring, so what happened was a couple now 150 years ago or so, electricity, or more than that, electricity was not discovered, was harnessed, I guess is the best way of putting it. Right. And the question that came up. Okay, so how do we treat electricity in terms of halacha? What is it doing with Gabi in terms of Hilchos Shabbos? What is it doing in terms of Hilchos? Whatever things that we use candles for, can we use electric lights for it, etc. So a lot of literature developed out of that question of what exactly is electricity. It was a big question for a while, things didn't transfer back and forth so easily. Some may recall from our church about Peshirim that we gave when we talk about when Chanan Wasserman talks about Rov Chachmei Klal Yisrael, give a psak on something that is the standing of being a Sanhedrin. So Savlovsky, in his Torah Shabbat Peshirim, used to quote the idea of electricity, that electricity came out, and it took 50, 60 years of a lot of hemming and hawing on what exactly this has electricity, and ultimately it became pretty clear that electricity is not permitted to be used on Shabbos, at least L'Chadchila. Right? And he claims that actually has the status of kind of being a Rov Chachmas Klal Yisrael. Whether that is or not, for a different time, probably during a summer between Menchamarev at some point. Okay, so the Rambam, so many pointed to this din in the Rambam, where the Rambam writes, HaMachamim Es HaBarzel Kedei Lutzarfu B'mayim HaReza Toldos Mavir V'chaya, that somebody heats up the Barzel Kedei Lutzarfu B'mayim, so that it will be hardened in the water. HaReza Toldos Mavir, that is a tolda of mavir. That is like mavir. That is like lighting something on fire. That is similar to that. And therefore you would be chayiv. So some claim on this that if you're heating up a wire, right? So that sounds like it's mavir. It sounds like you're lighting something. And that and the malacha, so what malacha do we stick on electricity? In this case, really only electric lights, right? That's the first, right? Something that's only lighting up to glow, etc. So what malacha then are we sticking on to electric lights for now? right? When the filament glows, we're sticking on mavir. The Ravid argues, the Ravid gives two other possibilities. One is he claims it might be bishel, right? Because you're cooking the, you're being mavashel, the metal. Or it might be makve patish, and that in this case, you're completing the metal. But that's a claim with the, that's kind of the starting point for some of the discussions on electricity. Again, this is completely bekitzer, which has very, very much the Rosh HaYeprachim. In the end of the Encyclopedia Talmudis, in volume 18, in what includes Chashmal, so the section on Chashmal itself of the Encyclopedia Talmudis, meaning going back to the time of the Talmud, I guess, is about 12 pages or so. However, in the back, he has here, I didn't notice this until recently, there is about a 60-70 page kuntras on Chashmal on Shabbos. So one of the things they mentions is one paragraph we stuck out, the Encyclopedia Talmudis, is on the later editions of the Bar Ilan, so therefore it's on the page in Bar Ilan style here, where the first half talks about Shachut Shevetocha Mislahit Ayidei Zerem HaChashmal Overbo, right, that the string inside, not the string, the wire inside, the filament begins to glow, and that gives off an ore, Kayemes Nora Fluorescent HaMechila Betocha Gaz Shezarem HaChashmal Azorim Bo Gorim Lo Lahayir. And what is going on with the fluorescent lights? The fluorescent lights is not really lighting up a filament, that's only lighting up gases, in which case it might be possible that fluorescent bulbs would not be a problem on Shabbos, at least on a level of Doraisa. So the only problem with fluorescent lights is how do you start them? Because Norazu ain ba chut lahat, there's no filament inside of it. Elishavit chilas had lakas mislaid chut lahat besoch starter, right? Just in the beginning, there's a starter that lights it, and then the rest of it is continuing to glow. Okay, so that's why. But then he goes on and says, "V'chein kayemis noros digitalios, digital, right? Shahayu diodos poltos or LED. That's what I know. Okay, the LED kinds lasher behen niflat or mimakor carve in behen ish klal." And he goes on and says, and the LED lights don't give off any heat. Right? You can put your finger up to the LED lights, right? Or up to these things. I did a little bit of I came up with, somebody has a website about the history of calculator displays. He describes the first LED, right? The calculator first, these are a little bit more modern. These kinds of displays are even more modern, right? First were the light-up LED displays, and then these came along a little bit later on. Mm-hmm. But either way, according to the Encyclopedia Talmudis, those are not considered fire, it's not considered light, right? There's no heat coming out of it. It's considered something that is glowing. So that is only electricity. So very quickly, the Rambam is talking about, when the Rambam says something is usser, that you're chayv, that's a toldos amavir, that's something that's glowing, that's something that there's actually light coming out of it. But when it's not metal that's being lit, right, and it's only something that is that is like this, that's only, that's not saying it's mutter, just saying it's not considered light. That's not considered electric light. Electric light is a filament, right? With a lights that's glowing, these LEDs or LCDs, right? The LCDs are the calculator. These are LCDs,
yes.
And he's talking about LEDs, right? Both of those are not considered like electric light bulbs. Electric light bulbs is considered separate. And those aren't considered to be ash because there's no fire. There's no fire that's coming out, right? It's not kamima by havdalah that some, if one is really stuck without electric. Without a Havdalah candle, so perhaps, although it's not so clear, perhaps one could possibly use a light bulb, but it would have to be an incandescent bulb. To use a fluorescent bulb would be a problem because there's no ash, right? It's not an ash, it's not considered a fire, it's not considered
those kinds of things. Meiselman uses electric bulbs.
Electric bulbs, yeah, but with a filament, well, it's not fluorescent.
But you said perhaps.
Some do, right? Rav Chaim Ozer used electric bulbs. I think the problem is that it might not be considered an avuka. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I mean, it might not be considered, but it's only one filament, right? So it might not be one thing. However, Rav Bleich has in one of his contemporary halachic problems, he discusses using a flashlight for bdikas chametz. So many people, of course, use a flashlight. You can do a lot, right? So Rav Bleich says, wait a second, you can't use a flashlight because you're not allowed to use an avuka. Right, the Gemara says you're not allowed to use a torch. So if you're going to say you're an avuka, you can say you could use a
torch.
You can't have it both ways, right? You can either use it for Abdullah, or you can use it for a flashlight, but you can't have it both. Remember when I read that, I had like the reaction of like, wow, he's just like too smart. But you can't have it both ways.
The British call it a torch, but I don't know, it doesn't look like a torch to me.
Okay, so So that is our. So just when we talk about what would be a din d'oraisa? What would be the d'oraisa problem of using electricity? So far the only thing that we have is a light. If it would be a filament light. However, the displays, the LEDs and the LCDs and LEDs are the
crystal displays.
Yeah, okay. And the what's it called? And fluorescent lights, if you could figure out the automatic start fluorescent lights, so those are not the dindo raisa of those are not the dindo raisa form of mavir. Okay, now what about regular electricity if there's no light involved? So that was a subject of a major machlokas between a young Rishon Zalman Orbach. He was not very old when he had this correspondence. Rishon Zalman wrote extensively on the topic. I do not claim to have read the gamut of he published a kuntres on. He wrote multiple tshuvas on, and he has quoted many, many different places on what he held and what he said and all the different things. Right, and there was the famous machlokas between the Chazon Ish and Rishon Zalman Orbach. So what gemara? So one of the gemaras that it's one of the things that it involves is as following. The gemara tells us in Shabbos a machzir kana menorah. If you stick on a branch to the menorah on Shabbos, you know, it's not like you're melding it on. I mean, it's a metal thing that you're melding on, so you're chayiv, right? That's an issue. You're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. That's a prohibition of either bona or makah b'patish. That of either you're building or you're completing the building of it. So, kana saidin lo yachzir v'im hichzir patra aval aser. Now, what's a kana saidin? So, it's some kind of...
some kind of pole
that was used to plaster, right? That was it. Some kind of pole that like they used to plaster the ceilings. So he says that had various movable pieces to it. So if you either take pieces on, if you took pieces on, you shouldn't put it on. But if you did put them back on, it's patra aval aser. Right, and the Gemara then concludes in saying, "Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel omer im haya rafoi mutter." He's actually talking about something else. They're saying if it's loose thing, so then it actually would be mutter. So what are these three categories of things going on? So the first category is you're actually putting together an object, right? If you're putting together an object, that's a din d'oraisa. That's the malacha of, again, depending on what you're building, either boner or makav patish. The second thing that he's talking about is you have these plaster poles that are somewhat movable. I mean, they are somewhat removable. You take them off, then you put them back on. You take them off and put them back on.
What are you doing with them?
You're plastering the ceiling. Well, on Shabbos, you're not plastering the ceiling. On Shabbos, you're just making a pole vault for your kid or something. But you're putting the things back on. Plastering the ceiling is a different malacha. Right, but you're to take these things on, put them back, put them on, take them off is patur aval aser. Why? Okay, it's patur aval aser because it sounds like. Sorry, imaya rafui mutter. If it's loose, meaning if these things easily go on and off, so then it's mutter. So what's the thing in the middle? The thing in the middle is something that's not regularly switched, it sounds like. Right? Something that requires a little bit of work to move it back and forth. But it is designed to be built and taken down, built and taken down, built and taken down. That's the patra aval aser. The rafui is something that's always taken down and put back, taken down and put back. So says the Chazon Ish. So the Chazon Ish claimed that electricity is, it's not in this section here, but the Chazon Ish claimed that electricity is a problem of bona, that you're building a circuit. That is what the Chazon Ish's claim was. So in the correspondence back and forth between, again, the younger Shlomo Zalman Orbach and the Chazon Ish, Shlomo Zalman Orbach raised this gemara. He said, wait a second, but electricity is meant to be turned off and on. So how can you say that it's bona? So the Chazon Ish defended himself by quoting this gemara and saying, well, that which you say, right, the kana shel saidin lo yachzirim hichzir patur aval aser, v'lechor etani kana shel saidin dumya de menorah de resha, v'ayri betak of afilu hachi b'kana saidin patur. V'tayma, why? De menorah ikr tashmisha b'mor keves, u'peiruka eno b'shvil tashmish el l'seva acheres. He says that when you remove, that the menorah is meant to be built as is, and when you take something off, so you're not like taking it off in order to enhance the menorah, right? You're taking it off because you have some other reason that you need to take it off. Aval kana shel, that's why you're chayiv there, because even if you could possibly take it off and put it back on, right, there's no purpose in taking it off. For at least legabe, as far as the menorah is concerned, aval kana shel saidin yeshbo leishlo beis tashmishim devemakom namich ein roy kana aruch uvemakom gavoa ein roy kana katzer vehilka kashem arichu lefi Shata lefi shaa after taku chashiv ma'amid kli al gabi kli kti lagi lemakum gavo v'lo nachis alei shem kana arach. So Chazal is just saying, I'll tell you, there's a big difference between with that and what we're talking about electricity. And he goes on and talks about electricity. That when we're talking about this kana, this stick, right? So the kana is usable both ways, right? When you want to get to a tall ceiling, you use it very long. And when you want to get to a short ceiling, you take off some of the pieces from the bottom or the top or whatever, however it works, right? But it's usable both ways. So therefore, it's not really bona. By a menorah, however, a menorah, it's usable when it's there, and when you take it off, it's not usable. So he goes on and claims in the second paragraph.
Electricity is off. It's nice.
Shemachlis and azer shachlutin chashiv liolam ketaka. Dafni tzvon with the kanish shall side in af ketaka eno element. Aval tikun tzur like. I went to the second paragraph, however. I can't find the line I was looking for here. But the Chazanish claimed, right, why electricity, when it's on, and you're using it, but however, when you turn it off, you're taking it off. It's not usable at all. Right? And therefore, that's more comparable to the menorah case, which is chayiv, than to the pole case, which is putter, or, and certainly not to the rafui case, which is in fact mutter. So Shlomo Zalman, there is a tshuva. I mean, there's many tshuvas. One is Simon Chafei in his tshuvas. He actually has a correspondence there with the Chazon Ish in that tshuva, and he writes, first of all, the first part that we put in, v'achlitanu az lo lachush bazel l'makav apatish o tikun mana. It doesn't seem like there should be a pal l'makav apatish or tikun mana. Shum tikun mana hu dafka sha tikun hu bar kayama v'lo kasher agilim tekev lachshu l'soso achar ashimush. Right? When we talk about tikun mana, that's only when it's going to be there, when it's a bar kayama. And not when it's constantly going back and forth. Everybody knows that if that's the minhag to turn on and turn it off, right? Or then that in theory that should be mutter even lechachila. He says that's like a door, right? When I open the door on Shabbos, when I close the door on Shabbos, that's not considered bona. Just like when I open a door on Shabbos, that's not considered soser, right? That's the way a door works. That's what a door does for a living. It opens and it closes. So he claims that's what electricity does for a living, electric circuit does for a living also. It opens and it closes. So the Chazon Ish disagreed with that. I'm not sure what the order was and which, you know, where he claimed, but who was responding to whom, but the Chazon Ish disagreed with that piece. And then the second thing second of many things that the Rav Shlomo Zalman says, his afshani roa shaharachti ksas pasuras hadvarm v'katsaras besocha afal pikin osif odvar machidin. Let me add something else on. Nir lefi anias daisi delo chashiv bona elim kin habinin yachol al kolpanim lihiskai me'alav. He says, me'alav. That it's only possible, that something can only be considered bona if once it's built, it's built, and it's going to stand by itself. If you're constantly required to tend to it and maintain it and keep it built, so that's not considered bona. So v'hachanami, so to hear, gamkan, il b'mokum ha-mechuna ha-automatit, haya-omed adam shemesoviv kol hazman es ha-gil, v'adai shegam rabbeinu sover shabaseach eno chashiv klal kebona, kiven shekol or nasa rak haidei isha. Because how does electricity work? Electricity is coming from somebody else. It's constant, or someplace else. It's constantly an oncoming source of electricity. So because if for something to work as an electric circuit, it has to constantly be getting its juice from someplace else. So it's not, that can't be considered bona, said Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and therefore it's not that. So what is it? So Shlomo Zalman is quoted many different ways. I saw quoted as saying, I might have, you know, if it wasn't for the fact that I'd be arguing, it might even be mutter. Right? It might be okay. But bottom, when all the dust settles, most assume that either Shlomo Zalman held it or didn't hold it, but Rav Poskim assumed that electricity, when there is no lights involved, at least no heat lights involved, is a din dirabbanan. And that is mashma. That is mashma from several psak that Shmir Shavsky and Ulfasa. Again, Shmir Shavsky and Ulfasa was written by Rav Neuvers, but it was overseen very closely by Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and it contains the following psak an important psak, important psak during the summer, and the way things are going might happen pretty soon. When it's really hot during the summer, right? Mutter lomar lenachri lahafil es ha'me'orer ha'chashmali. Ha'me'avrer. I'm sorry. Thank you, Israelis here. You're allowed to have the ask a non-Jew to turn on the air conditioner. Or the ventilator. Okay.
Ventilator.
Oh, it's mizgana avir. That's an air conditioner?
Oh, it's mizgana avir. That's
the air conditioner. Okay, thank you. So you can have them turn on the fans and the air conditioner, all the things to keep you cool. Now, why are you allowed to do it? So he's quoting from a Kufyates is sending, he doesn't quote the reason in the footnote, but he does quote the source. The source is a, I'm forgetting now if it's a Minchas Yitzchak or if it's a 1334, oh, there it is, well, right to the right page. Again, what's the footnote here? Kufyates Minchas Yitzchak. He quotes from Minchas Yitzchak that it's what we call a shvus de shvus makum tzar. Now, one is in pain, right? And what are the two shvusim? What are the two derabanans? So, A, amir la'akum, you're telling a non-Jew to do it. And the second one is, it's only electricity, right? Electricity, therefore, has a status of only being a problem derabanan. Okay, so that's number one. Now, a bigger chiddush is the thing that I put down next, which is a big help when we start talking about these CPAP machines. Where Shlomo Zalman is quoted in a footnote as saying, "V'shamati me'agano Shlomo Zalman Orbach Shlita v'im eno mosif lahadlik od chom o mechabehu." That if you're not actually
chut.
Right, if you're not lighting an additional wire or how do you extinguishing it, rak magbir es hazerim o machli show, you're just strengthening it or weakening it near the in bazeshum iser. For that, there's no iser, said Shlomo Zalman. So now when we talk about the in the footnotes in the addendum to the addendum, there is a separate statement that came out more recently that has a couple of haras on what was said, right? And that's what this is. Also gives an introduction to Hilchos Shabbos in general in here. So there it writes, "Hol v'chutim kol zman shechorim v'lo ma'adimim," that the chutim stay black the whole time; they don't actually turn red. Ki mehem misadmim ayadei ha'agbara harezim mamish kamad l'keish. So they turn red, and then it's like a fire. Then he goes and quotes the Chazanish. So if you want to hold like the Chazanish, so the Chazanish might say, no, plus you're adding on, taking away from the circuit itself, so maybe the Chazanish would say that it is a problem. But what Rosh Shlomo Zalman is saying, that just simply going up or going down in the level of electricity being used, assuming that there's no changes, right, there's no changes, other Not change. Assuming that there's no, I don't know. How I say
opening a circuit or closing a circuit.
Right. Assuming there's no complete change. It's just rising up or rising down.
It
doesn't have to gather more circuits to do it. So Rosh Shlomo Zalman seems to say that that is permissible. So now the later editions of these CPAP machines, from what I understand, right, Joel, this is your. Right, mm-hmm. that they even if you leave them on, which we're going to say you should do, even if you leave it on, when you put it on, so it starts adjusting for the amount of air that's coming in and coming out.
Yes,
right.
Correct.
So according to this, that seems like that should not be an issue. Right, that seems to be what we're saying. It shouldn't be an issue because the electricity is going, and electricity is just going up and going down. You're not actually starting or stopping a new circuit,
And you're not even turning it. It's a shinui for sure.
Well, the shinui, hold off on shinui. I hope I have time to talk about shinui.
So even if the motor goes off, aren't we saying that...
Well, I hope the motor's not going off. Why is the motor going off?
It does go off.
It goes off after a period of time.
Well, period of time, okay.
It does.
Okay. Well, okay. So how to get it started?
It's probably, you know.
Okay, so,
if you take off, disconnect it, that'll go off.
Okay. It depends on how fast you are.
You can set it up so it won't go off.
Yes.
Well, yes, you can.
You can set it up so it won't go off, or you can tell it how long it should wait.
There are many different additions here that are around our table. For now, the one psak that I'm putting out on the table is. is that assuming that it's on, and you're just putting it on your mouth, and even though putting it on your mouth will adjust some of the things, and that's now it seems to be saying, even will be adjusting some of the what's it called, some of the things on the screen.
On the screen,
so it seems like Rosh Hashanah Zalman uses the word mutter here. He doesn't even use the word, mishum, chola, whatever. He says mutter. Near the ein vaze shum iser. I got a shum. Near the ein vaze shum iser. Okay, so now hatayim for being sick. Okay, so now.
What kind of hat does that for being sick?
No. The theorem available for those are
next
six.
Time you need a
so now those people that are on the that have apnea or things of that nature. So what exactly is their status? So they check in. They present themselves. Hi, I have apnea. So what does that mean in terms of halacha? So. So we have a few statuses of halacha, statuses of ill people. One is a cholish yish bo sakana, one is a cholish ein bo sakana. Right, then there's what we call meichus bialma. Right, so cholish yish bo sakana is a somebody if they don't do this that things are going to be dangerous. Right, a cholish ein bo sakana is that they're in no danger of their life. However, they are they're not in good shape. They're uncomfortable. Or well, meichus bialma is really uncomfortable. Is that they'd have to lie down or something like that. So on the Starkey website, it talks about CPAP machines, and there it mentions that the people with the apnea so claim two things, right, from what I could tell, and there's two issues. One is that if they don't use it, the next day they're going to be dead. Right,
tired,
extremely tired,
fatigued.
Going to be very fatigued the next day. And the second thing is that over an amount of time, that it actually could lead to serious health consequences. Right, those are the two issues.
I have a colleague, a good friend, who died. He just stopped breathing when he didn't use his CPAP.
Right. Wow. So I called today my ex vice president from the Young Azula Phoenix, who is a pulmonologist, and I said, okay, I told him what the Starkey website said. I said, well, he's a Frum guy, and I told him, okay, so what's the story with these CPAP machines, or the apnea, etc. What status do you think that they fit into? So he said, well, it's of course they will not be feeling well the next day. That is that everybody could see. The idea of whether you would call it what you say a cholish yesh bo sakana, I mean that it must be that I take it, otherwise it's going to lead to something down the road. So he didn't think so.
Yeah,
he said
people miss it all. I love the psak, and the psak is like refinement. It's beautiful halacha, but they're really going out there.
No, refinement. Refinement's. I'm not sure I even said
for
it.
Some people.
Refinement's psak is
for some people. It would be yesh bo sakana.
Right. If it's a yesh bo sakana, it's a yesh bo sakana.
In the ICU, you need your CPAP.
Refinement's psak is that because it could lead to serious health things down the road. It's certainly no worse than a cholish ein bo sakana. Right, so he wants to say it's a cholish. It's no worse than a cholish ein bo sakana, and that's probably where we are assuming, because that's the person the next day is really going to feel terrible the next day. So they probably would fall under the category of a cholish ein bo sakana. It is important to point that there are two caveats to this, both on opposite extremes. I did have a bottle of us once who was like crazy about his CPAP machine, and he I said, if I don't use it for one night, it's gonna and whether it's true, whether it's not true, that's the way he felt. So to tell him tell him not to do it, it's just not worth it. Was the other problems that are going to cause you? The guy's going to have a heart attack from not using it. Right? So that's one caveat on one end.
Why is it not a preventative? Just one meaning that you don't have. How do you view it? I mean, you don't have sleep apnea until you actually fall asleep. Or you say no, you have sleep apnea. That label is on you all the time.
Right. So the question of don't go to sleep.
Yeah. No. I'm not saying go to sleep. I'm saying
one day a week.
Is your trachea? You're allowed to take medicine.
No, it's not the trachea.
Is there a refuel?
Right.
When you don't have the problem.
Right. Right. So in order to avoid the problem, we assume that also.
It's not a problem with food.
Right. Right. Not a problem with food. So that's. Right.
So you're arguing preventative.
And then the other thing he mentioned to me, which I already feeling Luz is going to jump down my throat, is that he claims that the latest research shows is that for women below the the age of 60, using a CPAP machine does not show any longevity of life. And for men using a CPAP machine below the age of 60, it does show a little bit of a lengthening of life, but above the age of 60 shows no difference. So that's the, he said, that's the latest research said. And you could take it up with him. So I asked him about that. What about these people in the middle of the night? He said, first of all, those people know that it's a problem. I mean, that's not all of a sudden that that's just a random person with apnea. That person has a severe case. You have a severe case, you have a severe case. So that's A, and then B. So the stomp person with apnea will happen. What he was saying to me was, although he didn't use these words, but they're my words, is that it's a miyat sheino matzli. That it's, that's not a miyat that one has to be, that one will change the halacha for and automatically call anybody that is diagnosed with needing a CPAP machine automatically a chol she'ein bo sakana. So I think we could be comfortable. I'm comfortable calling it a chol she'ein bo sakana. So now, what is the halacha for a chol she'ein bo sakana in terms of turning on electricity, etc.? Or not electricity yet, but at least in terms of malacha. So the Shulchan Aruch here, in a rare case of quoting everybody, quotes everybody on this opinion. There is a Gemara that talks about a. Sorry, I forgot, I meant to put this on. There is a Gemara that talks about a chola and says, how does it resolve the problem with the chola? It says, tell the non-Jew to take care of it for you. That's the primary source that the Shulchan Aruch here is basing himself off of. So he says here, the first thing that one should do is, right, chola shenafel machmas chol of the mishka ve'in bo sakana, right, or shein bo tzeri, skip the Ramah. Right, on the second line, he says, "Omrim le'eno Yehudi la'osa lo refua." Tell a non-Jew to do the refua. Aval ein machal alav as a shas b'sederais, but you certainly can't Jews ein machal alav as a shas b'sederais. Afilu yesh bo sakanas aver. Even if it's a sakanas aver, even if it's a danger that your arm is going to fall off, right? So you still wouldn't be able to violate din d'oraisa for that. Now, if someone's arm is going to fall off, chances are that could be bumped up pretty easily to being a chol she'eish bo sakana. But if somehow you could be ascertained that it's not a chol she'eish bo sakana, that danger, life's not in danger, so you're not allowed to violate any din d'oraisa. Uchalo lov Yisrael be'isser d'rabban bi'adayim. Right, yesh matirim now for a Jew to violate an iser derabanan. So yesh matirim those that say mutter, afilu ein bo sakanas aver. Some say it's mutter. Ve'yesh shomrim shim yesh bo sakanas aver osin v'im ein bo sakanas aver ein osin. Some will permit doing an iser derabanan with your hands for sakanas aver, but not for if it's not a sakanas aver for limb. Ve'yesh shomrim, and this is underlined, but this is actually how we paskin. Ve'yesh omrim shim ein bo sakanas aver osin b'shinoi. Right, if there is no sakanas aver, you can do a shinoi. V'im yesh bo sakanas aver, osin b'lo shinoi. Right, and if yesh bo sakanas aver, you can even do without a shinoi. So what's the Ramban saying? This is a quote from the Ramban. So what's the Ramban saying here? So the Ramban is saying, at least the way the Mechaber is quoting it, we'll see that's important later on, the Mechaber is quoting the Ramban as saying that if you're going to do an iser durabanan, meaning you're going to use electricity, like plug in electricity, you're going to use electricity for a chol she'eish bo sakana, right? You could do it b'shinoi, right? You could do it by doing a shinoi. Now, what is the shinoi? Now, that is, the Mishnah Berurah, by the way, quotes that la'alach, right? We hold like the third. Ainu shemutter lasos hafilu kol ha'shvutim v'rakai de shinoi. You could do all the shvutim, but only by way of a shinoi. So now, the problem is, right. So the problem now is that how exactly do you find a shinui when it comes to something that's electric? So the Igle Tal points out in his introduction to the Igle Tal is the Avli Nezer, same person as Avli Nezer is Igle Tal, the Sakachev Rebbe. I think one of the few achronim that the Rav used to quote from what I heard, right?
Yes.
Okay. So the Avnei Nezer, so the Igle Tal writes in the introduction, he develops the following distinction between shinui. He says sometimes a shinui is done in the actual action of the malacha, meaning the malacha is being done in a shinui fashion. He says, on the other hand, sometimes a shinui is not at all being done in a shinui fashion, it's just the way that you are creating the malacha is done in a shinui. I mean, you create the malacha in a shinui, right? But the malacha itself is being done as normal, mm-hmm. right? So that's what he writes in the introduction. And he, but now the Avnei Yezer goes on and says, though, he says, Aval, look at that's the paragraph beginning with V'inei. If you look on the left side on the bottom, it says, Aval, ba'ofen hasheni, she'ein shum shinui bi'ikus hanifal rak, Be'ichlus ha'nifal rak be'ichlus ha'poal, right? There's no shinui in the nifal, only in the way that in what is being done, just in the way it is being done, the way it's being done too. Roy ha'yali hischayiv. In that case, maybe you would claim that that's not a shinui. Maybe you'd be chayiv. Sheri mikol mokam ha'pu'u nigmeres karoy, because the action is actually being done in the same way.
You think that's true?
Then it goes on. It says, "Ah, I got it. Ach, we call malchus b'Shabbos pater aleh. However, malchus on Shabbos you be pater, because the malchus machsheves asr Torah, because of the din of malchus machsheves. Because no, the malchus machsheves both have to be there, right? In order for somebody to be machayev and malchus on Shabbos, claims the Avnei Nezer, right? That the action has to be the regular way, and the causative action has to be the regular way, and the action itself has to be in the regular way." Right, so and that's the Avnei Nezer claims is proper to in order to achieve a shinui. However,
that's saying you need both, either one,
right?
One is
no, in order to be chayiv,
the other one would be completely not.
Right, in order to be chayiv, both need to happen. Right, I'm sorry. In order to be chayiv, both need to happen.
It's a defective.
Right.
Let's hear the however.
However, this part is really what I've been thinking about for a while. I remember when I was learning Hilchos Shabbos with Rav Zelowski, he threw out a line like this. Like, it's very difficult to know exactly what a shinui is, because just putting your elbow on an elevator button, is that really considered a shinui? And like, it kind of like went on from that. Is a left hand okay, right? So left hand is certainly okay, that's the Mishnah, but that's only by writing. Now, is a left hand good by other malachos as well? That might not necessarily be the case. So there. Now, forget about a left hand. What about elbows? What about pinkies? What about little toes? What about kneecaps? Right, all these different things. They're all lemaisa, the same action. Right, you're doing your part in an unusual way, but the malacha is being done in a regular way. So the Avnei Nezer claimed that's not a problem. Right, at least in Hilchos Shabbos, that's not a problem. Right. However, not everybody agrees, as we'll see. The Gemara sells us in Sukkah, in Sukkah of all places.
That's not a problem. That's the Issur Darabanan.
Right. That's the Issur Darabanan. I'm sorry. Not a problem when it comes to these situations. Right. It's an Issur Darabanan. Thank you. So the Gemara in Sukkah tells the following story: Amar Rava Hadas Hamachubar Mutar LaReach Bo. They have a Hadas that's connected to the ground. You're allowed to smell it on Yontif. Esrog b'mechubar asur la'reach bo. But if it's an esrog that's connected, you're not allowed to walk up to an esrog and smell it on yontif. My taima hadas la'reach kai isharis leilu asur l'migazaya. That if you want the hadas, right, you're not going to go and cut out the hadas, right? You don't that you know. There's no temptation to do. But esrog de la'achila kai. But an esrog which is edible, you can eat an esrog isharis leilu asur l'migazaya. If you're allowed to smell an esrog, you may come to. You may come to eat it. Now Rashi, however, sticks. No. You can't say it's Durabanan here, because then it would be a Durabanan, not to Durabanan. I mean, the Rabbanan are putting a gezeira against smelling an esrog. Why are they putting a gezeira against smelling an esrog? Because you may pluck it.
Right. But smelling
and
itself,
that would be
they permit
it. Right. Smelling is mutter, but they're not. But plucking it is certainly a deraisa.
Oh, I'm not talking about
right. That. So comes Rashi and says, what did he mean by plucking it? Rashi comments, "Aval esrog de achila kai kimureach le min shivitalish va'achile." Right, but you're going to smell it. You're going to pluck it to eat it. V'afim ochli sticks in this line. V'afim ochlo b'mechubar ein l'chatalish gold l'mizeh. And even if you eat it off the tree, that's considered talish as well. Ein l'chatalish gold l'mizeh. That is talish as well. Now, eating a esrog off of a tree, I would think ein shinui gadol mizeh, right? So what does Rashi mean? All of a sudden, that's the malacha of talisha. How does that happen? So it comes to Iglital and malachas of kotz. Iglital says, well, I'll explain to you the difference. And it's a long. It's again. It's also a long essay. Just plucked out. No pun intended. A small part of it. It says Miata Yivur Hetav Divrei Rashi Sukkah B'Mashakasuv Ki Meirach Minshe V'Tali V'Achulei V'Afim Ochlo B'Mechubar Ein lecha talish gadol mizeh. Right, that's a quote of Rashi. She'im yocholenu b'mechubar ayadei shichacha b'shigga Shabbos v'lo yehe kavanaso b'achilaso ha'mechubar k'tei laso shinoi sh'rei shachak shu Shabbos el she'tav l'ochlo tekef zed doma l'hotziyo piva ochlo. Okay. Piva ochlo. What's he saying? He's saying that when are you chayv achatas for eating it off the tree? That's if you forgot it was Shabbos. Right? If you forgot it was Shabbos, or you forgot it was a malacha, whatever it is, right? And you eat it that way, so then that's Talisha. That's the malacha of Talish. However, says the Igle Tal, if you pluck it, if you eat it in that way, because you want it to be considered a shinoi,
that's a shinoi.
So then it's considered a shinoi. That's what the Igle Tal says. So the Igle Tal stands. The Igle Tal says, he explains away that Gemara in Sukkah, and he says, it's okay, on Shabbos.
And he's not even arguing with Rashi.
And right.
No,
right.
He's explaining
Rashi. He explains Rashi fits. Rashi's quote in Shulchan Aruch, that's assumed the halacha of that Rashi. So the Igle Tal says, I'll explain it away, and I still stand, right? So it's still, so far, according to the Igle Tal, it's okay, as long as, you know, you push the thing with your left hand or your elbow, whatever it is.
It doesn't mean you can make up a shimmy. It means that where something could be a legitimate shimmy, you have to have, that if you have kavana for it to be a shimmy, then it works as a shimmy. It doesn't mean that anything you say, if I say, you know, something that Rabbanu wouldn't consider a shimmy is a shimmy just because I say so, doesn't make it a shimmy. Just because I say this act of shimmy doesn't...
Okay, very good.
It has to still be legitimate.
Aren't we operating with norms? You know, what is the derech of doing the malacha?
Yeah.
And if someone deviates from that norm, that's a shinoi.
With the purpose of
even if it's kavana, it was as a shinoi.
Fine. So comes the... No, but if it was a if it really was a shinoi and he had kavana for it to be a shinoi, then it's considered a shinoi. It's not malachas machshavas anymore, right? So I'm running out of time.
You have at least 5 minutes, and then
it would still be his rabbanan.
What?
Even if he didn't have in mind that it should be a shinoi,
right?
Let's say something that's...
No, so that's what Rashi's saying. Rashi's saying you'd be chayv achatas. No, Rashi's saying you'd be chayv achatas. He's saying if you ravishing for this apple, and you ran over to the tree, and it was Shabbos, you forgot that it was Shabbos, so whether you pluck it off and eat it, or whether you just eat it off the tree, the pu'ul is still the same, right? So therefore you'd be chayv achatas either way. Right, but if somebody warned you and said, you know, you're going to be chayv whatever, and he said, no, I'm plucking it off as a shinoi, right? So you should feel bad, and it's a din derabanan and bad, whatever. But you're not chayv the doraisa. Okay. So the Aruch HaShulchan comments on this case. He quotes the Magen. Magen Avram is also says that's considered a shinoi, and you see right in the middle it says Magen Avram Sifkatun Yud Aleph, and then he says Vali Nira Dzehu Tchlisha Midoraisa. The Aruch HaShulchan takes a machmir position here, and says that I think that it's Tchlisha Doraisa. Da Derech Achila Bekach Va Tchlisha Havi Memela, because that's the way you're eating it, and the Tchlisha is happening. Gam hatvu ashur b'bechor shur heisig alav v'kein kasav rashi mefurish besukla mitzayin dira masal aval esrog v'ha... I'm not sure what that is. Nidchak ayin sham. Machzah shekel, nidchak ayin sham. Umihi chrichu lazeh v'kama me'ar ha'yonim nitlu bazeh uvaruhu b'li shum safik sveika da ochel min ha'mechubar havi av malacha. And Aruch HaShulchan says, well, you're doing the same thing. You're doing Talisha, and that's what Rashi said. And it's a...
eats from something that...
No, so he's pointing out, he's saying it doesn't matter because the Talisha is happening. He's saying the Talisha...
But the Talisha means I'm Talish this way. So when you go with the mouth...
Says you. That's what you're saying. I mean, when is Shinoi invoked? Shinoi is invoked on Shabbos, right? When if you're making some kind of baby cereal and you want to violate lush, so you do it with in a Shinoi type of way. Right? So there, the Malach itself is being done in a different kind of way. Here, the Malach itself is being done in the same kind of way. It's just the hand that's cutting it down is a different kind of hand.
The apple stays on the tree. You're eating the apple. You're not removing it from the tree.
Yeah. No. But you're whatever you're eating, you're removing from the tree.
There's no picking.
But with your mouth instead of your hand.
Okay, so that's why. So in the, on the Starkey website, when it talks about the CPAP, they're going back to the CPAP machines. Mm-hmm. So the way to get it started, right, is you got to put it on. You got to start breathing on it. So now, I think the first time I read it, I mean, not even changed the site. I remember reading this a couple of years ago, and said something. Well, that's a Shinoi. So I said, well, that's not a Shinoi. Right, that's not a Shinoi, right? That's the way you turn it on. The way you turn it on is you breathe into it. So you can't make a claim that's a Shinoi. I'm not sure it said that, whether it didn't say that, but that's certainly not a Shinoi, right? So then he goes on and says, well, okay, so you want to put it on. So how? So you should use a proper Shinoi. But then it says, well, wait a second, how are you going to make a proper Shinoi? Right? try to figure out how you're going to do a Shinoi. Now my ha'ara on this is that even if you could somehow figure out that instead of breathing through your nose, you breathe through your mouth or whatever that is, if you could do something like that. So my ha'ara is, I'm not, according to Aruch HaShulchan, that wouldn't even work as a Shinoi. Now, however, even though we got into this little Torah of Shinoi, the truth is I could have skipped the whole thing because it's not really that relevant. Because the Mishnah Berurah says, "Ba'ayin sham le'el da'al yidei Yisrael mutter dafka yidei Shinoi." Right? He says, look earlier, this is later on in Simen Shin Chav Ches, about, you know, look 30 Sif Katans earlier, where we talked about that if a Yisrael is going to do a dinder abundant, it's some suffix she'en bo sakana, it better be done al yidei Shinoi. He says, look over there, right? So it has to be done. Ach! The Chai Adam, however, paskin that if you can't figure out a Shinoi, it's even mutter without a Shinoi. Right? While yes, the Shulchan Aruch said that a Cholish Ein Bo Sakana, you need to, if you're going to do a Dindar Rabbanan by a Cholish Ein Bo Sakana, you better use a Shinoi. The Chai Adam said you don't have to. Looked at the Chai Adam doesn't say anything more than the Mishnah Berurah says. The Chai Adam just said that line. He doesn't really explain himself. However, I don't know if I could explain the Chai Adam, but I could certainly defend the Psak within the Halacha of the Shulchan Aruch.
So, but why is it better that the Chai Adam says it than the Eglei Tal?
No, the Igle Tal, the discussion of this Igle Tal is a discussion of whether it is a Shinoi or not. Right? I went on a sidetrack because really what interested me and brought me to this topic in the first place was what's a Shinoi. So I don't want to cut that out.
I see. Right? I understand.
But here the Mishnah Berurah is quoting the Chai Adam, and Shulchan Aruch seems to, you know, Mishnah Berurah is quoting him, seeming to agree to it, that really Lemaisa doesn't make a difference. You don't really need a Shinoi. Now, where did he get that from? Now, I'm not really sure where he got it from, but I could definitely I could tell you perhaps where he did get it from. Now, if you take a look at the Shulchan Aruch in Shin Chav Ches, when it was describing the Ramban's opinion, so Yeshorim Shem Ein Bo Sakanas Ever Osim B'Shinoi Vim Yesh Bo Sakanas Ever Osim B'Lo B'Shinoi, that if there's Sakanas Ever, you could do without a Shinoi, but if there was no Sakanas Ever, so then it would have to be done with a Shinoi. Now, what is that talking about doing with a Shinoi? So the Shulchan Aruch is clear that's only talking about an Isuri Durabanan. It's talking about that if you're going to be doing an Isuri Durabanan, so and there is a Cholish Ein Bo Sakana, so you are permitted to do with the Shinoi, and that's what we were just saying, and technically perhaps you don't really need a Shinoi, that L'chadchila one should try to make a Shinoi, and B'di'evid, one doesn't really need a Shinoi under those circumstances, presuming that it's an Issur D'Rabbanan. Now, that is, of course, quoting the Ramban. Now, if you take a look in the Beis Yosef, that's the way that the Beis Yosef quotes the Ramban as well. The Beis Yosef quotes the Ramban as saying that v'dod the hadamrin tzarchi cholish ein bo sakana asur b'shvus hanasa idei Yisrael. You're not allowed to do any shvusim that are done by a Jew. Even the chol himself is not permitted to be involved in any shvus that's being done by Yisrael. However, if you look in the Torah Sa'adam, which is presumably the primary source for that Ramban, it's not exactly what the Ramban says. The Ramban there is clear when he writes V'hachi peruka demils meichus sha'adam cholim imenu v'nofel l'mishka, that a person is sick and that they're in bed v'ein bo sakana. However, the cholish she'ein bo sakana hitir bo shvus she'ein bo ma'isa d'hainu amira l'gay. You're permitted to a shvus eino ma'isa which doesn't have a guy, meaning derabanan, when it's permitted to have amira la'akum do the problem. V'chein hitir bo shvus d'malacha anasas b'shinui. And what else did they permit? So they also permitted to do a shvus of a malacha nasa b'shinui. Now, what does that mean? So that sounds like it means that they're talking about not an isur d'rabbanan, but rather an isur d'oraisa. It seems like they're saying that that even if you want to do a malacha, so the Ramban is talking about a level of malacha d'oraisa, you can have either the non-Jew do it, and so too they permitted to do a malacha nasa b'shinui. So too they permitted to do it by way of a shinui. That's not talking about a malacha derabbanan. That's talking about malacha deraisa. In fact, in the footnotes in the new edition of the Torah Sa'adam, so that's the way it says it there. It says it lasos l'refua fil b'malachas deraisa. It's even permitted to do this for malacha deraisa either al yedei nachri or al yedei shinui. So that's really what the Ramban. So when the Ramban said that you need to do a shinui, he was probably only talking about a din deraisa. However, it's very possible to say that if you went to the Ramban and said, "I'm only doing a malacha derabbanan, I can't figure out a way to do a shinui, but it is a cholish she'ein bo sakana." So it's very possible that the Ramban himself would agree to that. And the Ramban would say that, yes, by a din d'oraisa, by a cholosh imbo sakana, obviously you need a shinui. However, if it's only malacha d'rabbanan, it's very possible that perhaps one would not even require a shinui if that person finds that it's impossible to figure out a way to do a shinui. So thank you, everybody, for coming. I hope this clarified some of the issues.